Welcome to Praise God. I'm Arrested and Free with your host, Julianne Harris. A show based on the Word of God and the promises of God's undying love for you. Now your host and the sheriff's daughter, Julianne Harris.
Hello and good morning. I'm Julianne Harris, and praise God, I'm arrested and free. I've been arrested by God's goodness, His love, His grace, and His mercy, and I've been set free from pain and anxiety and fear and discontentment and all the negative things that happens to us in life. I have been set free from. And a special shout out to my dad in northeastern Montana, who is a sheriff. So yes, I am a sheriff's daughter. Hey, I want to welcome you to the show this bright and early Sunday morning, the 5th of May in the year of our Lord 2019. I am so blessed that you are tuning in. And you know, I want to give a special shout out to one of my friends over the airways. He messages me each week, giving me an encouragement. And you know who you are, brother. I appreciate you. So thank you for that encouragement and for interacting with me. So I've been talking about righteousness, and you know, it is such a huge revelation from God. If you can understand it and believe it, you know, as Christians, this is what we are. We are a believing people. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that Jesus came to earth to die on the cross for our sins. And we believe that God raised him from the dead on the third day. And when you believe on Jesus, you are saved. And you know, Colossians talks about the same way you received Christ, so walk ye in him. That means the same way that you believed when you became a born-again believer, that is how you walk in the rest of it. And righteousness is something that happens at the get-go. The minute you believe on Jesus is the minute you are righteous. You are right with God. That's what righteousness means. You are right with God. And praise God for that. He's made it so easy. But you know, this week, it's been brought back to my attention. We had a special speaker there at Karis Bible College, and it was Creflo Dollar. And I just think he is the bomb. If you've never listened to him, you need to, because he preaches the unadulterated grace of God, but it's such a balance of grace and faith. You know, sometimes we can get in a ditch. I was just talking with my folks back in Montana, and there's a minister there that is moving on. And, you know, we can get into this hyper grace, this ultra ditch of grace, and it can turn into universalism, which is that everyone is saved, that it doesn't matter what you believe, everyone is saved, that God is love. And you know what, folks, you can get into a ditch on either side. You know, you can either get in a ditch of grace or you can get in a ditch of faith. And I'm here to tell you that if you have not believed on Jesus, you are not saved. The word is very clear on that. And sometimes we just want to believe what we want to believe out of the word and then discount the rest of it. So going back to hearing Creflo this week, I tell you what, hearing that the basis of the grace of God, it is the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. And if you haven't listened to my previous episodes earlier last year, because I've been on the air almost for a year now, you need to go listen to it, because this is what, you know, it's a matter of believing that you're righteous, but you really have to understand how we have been set free from the old covenant law. Remember, I went through this numerous times as far as the Bible in my eyes is in three sections. You have before the law came, before the law of God came through Moses. That there's a whole section there. And then you have when the old covenant came. Now, this was a covenant that God entered into with the Israelites, with the Jewish nation, to set them apart, to have them be different than the rest of the world. And then Jesus came, and that is the new covenant. And it's based upon better promises. It's not contingent on if you do something. You know, the blessing in your life is only based on Jesus. If you believe on Jesus, you are blessed. It doesn't matter if you pay your tithe. It doesn't matter if you go to church. It doesn't matter whether or not you beat your cat. you are blessed. And a lot of religious folks don't want to hear that because, you know why? Because they're depending on their own righteousness. They're saying, you know what? I'm only blessed because I do all these things. And they'll list them 1 through 3 or 1 through 35. It doesn't matter how many you do. It doesn't make you in better standing with God because of what you're doing. And I just really want to focus on that this episode because there are so many promises to people that are righteous. And every born-again believer is righous. But the majority of born-again believers that I know don't understand it. You know, we have these articles and there's a whole bunch of turmoil in the body of Christ right now. Here's an example. I read this article and it was basically saying that we are putting Christians in a box because God created us all to be individual. That is correct. I agree. But then they were talking about how, you know, the disciples were lying and cussing and, you know, they were a whole big mess, which they were before they got born again. You know, and then every example that this article used, they were talking about cussing and drinking as a Christian. And for us to say that as a Christian, we shouldn't cuss or drink. Now, don't get me wrong. We shouldn't cuss or drink because we want to be set apart. We're supposed to look different than the rest of the world. That was God's intention from the get-go. We, as children of God, should look different than the world. But in this article, it was talking about how, well, you know, we need to look at the disciples. And every example that was used was a point in that disciple's life before they got born again. Do you understand that? Like, the majority of what we see of the disciples until you move into Acts, they were not born again. Yes, they were walking the earth. They were ministering with Jesus. They were experiencing amazing things, but their nature was not changed. And then when you go into Acts and you look at the way these men behaved, it's like night and day different, folks. So don't tell me that we're putting everybody into a box because we don't think a Christian should, what, take the name of Jesus in vain, should curse, should drink and get drunk. I'm not against drinking. Now, I am for me personally because it doesn't end with just one drink. It turns into excess. And anything we do, you know, the word says, let your moderation be known to man. We should not be doing anything in excess. I mean, that encompasses a lot of stuff. So I'm not saying that drinking is bad. I'm saying when you do it in excess, you are altering who you are. You are opening the door to the enemy to come and steal, kill, and destroy if you get in a vehicle and drive drunk. You know, when you drink too much, you become uninhibited and you do things you normally wouldn't do. Does God not love you? No, God loves you. And if you believed on Jesus, he sees you as perfect and righteous. But are you believing it? Because when you start believing it, folks, your actions will change. You'll start to go, whoa, I am so right with God, apart from everything that I do, because I've been set free from the old covenant law, because I've been set free from self-righteousness, from works righteousness, from dealing with God based on what I do or don't do. We have been set free from that, folks. And now we deal with God on the basis of Jesus. And if you haven't believed on Jesus, you're not right with God. Sorry to tell you, sorry to burst your bubble if you're thinking something else, but the word is very clear. And if you don't want to believe the word, then I'm not going to agree with you because then we'd both be wrong. So I've been talking about Mary, and I just want to finish out this story with Mary so that I can move on. Man, isn't she a great example for us to listen to? I just think it's absolutely amazing, the story of Mary and the supernatural miracle that she appropriated in her body, in her world, all of it. And she shares so much in this story. There is so much for us to learn from. And so the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about how Mary said, and this starts in Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Mary said to her cousin Elizabeth, she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. If you haven't listened to the last couple of episodes where I really dove into those two scriptures, I would encourage you to do so. You can send me a message at 970-919-0459. I can send you the link there. Otherwise, give me a message. Send me a message on Arrested and Free. Or you can just find all the episodes there because I do post them on my Facebook page of Arrested and Free. So I'm just going to finish out this portion of the chapter of Luke. If you're not caught up, she's just came to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who is in the middle of another supernatural miracle because Elizabeth, who was barren, is pregnant with John the Baptist. So she shows up there and she says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." And then in verse 48, I'm going to read on. It says, and this is Mary speaking, remember, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed." You know, the angel told her that, but she's saying it over. She's like, behold, this expectation and this excitement for her future. It is so awesome. She's like, behold, all generations shall call me blessed. "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And then it says, "And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house." You know, Mary had nothing but good things to say. She was remembering things, and this kind of, I was struggling about where to go with this because I want to go over the promises of the righteous, but I think there's quite a few things that needs to be said before we get into these amazing promises, because I wonder how many of you out there are actually believing what I'm saying. When I say that you are right with God, do you put any value or worth in that? Because I would venture to say, if your life isn't changing, if things don't look different in your life, I would say that you're not believing it. You're not believing it. And a lot of us, you know, we don't want to think about it. So we can find stuff to keep us busy all the time, but yet we're feeling discontent and discouraged, and we know that we're made for something greater, but yet we're not taking value in the Word of God. We're not taking value in the fact that you are right with God. The minute you believe on Jesus, you are right with God. So I want to take us into this area of, we have learned so much from Mary, so I'm just trying to introduce this correctly, but I want to take us to Romans chapter 1. And this is, you know, really kind of a step-by-step progression. And it really shows us, if you want to be enlightened, if you want God to speak to you, if you want to have this revelation, a continual revelation of what God has done for you and the goodness that he shows to you, there's some very specific steps that we can take to have our spirit, our eyes enlightened, to know what is the hope of his calling, to get this continual awareness of the goodness of God in our life. There are some steps that we can take, and it's laid right out in Romans. Now, in Romans, it's actually talking about the contrary. It's the contrary steps to have a darkened, foolish heart. And I don't know about you, but I don't want a foolish heart. I don't want a darkened heart. So let me just read this to you, and then I'm going to unfold it a little bit. And this is something, it actually comes from a series by Andrew Womack that is called Keys to Staying Full of God. And I tell you what, folks, since 2013, I have listened to this series once a month, every month, because it is key and it is crucial, and it has become such a part of me that I don't know, I don't even know what it would be like now to not live this way. So it's huge. And if you open your heart, I just pray that you have ears to hear what I'm about to speak to you. So let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. So this is talking about the contrary. Okay, so bear with me and then I'll unfold it. So Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Wow, that doesn't sound good, does it? And that is something that we do not want. But how many of us are walking around with a hard, darkened, foolish heart? You know, I write a newspaper article for my friend back in Circle, who owns the newspaper there. And I was just talking about a hardened heart and how many people are walking around with a hard heart, a foolish, darkened hard heart. And, you know, I just really want to encourage you. You know, we can have a hard heart in certain areas towards God. And I can talk about that more later. I want to get back to Romans 1:21, but this is really what it's talking about, this foolish heart that was darkened. So let's look at these progressive steps. And what I love about this teaching is that it's the contrary. So if you look, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. So in the contrary, if we don't want to have a foolish, darkened, hard heart, then we want to glorify him as God when we know him as God. You know, glorify in this section of scripture means to esteem or to place value upon. I've been talking about this even a couple of weeks ago, talking about how Mary was magnifying. She says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. That is what this is talking about. It says, for when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Well, likewise, in the opposite manner, we need to glorify God when we know God and we put value, we place value and we esteem God in everything that he's doing in our lives. You know, I talked about this last week about being thankful and about giving glory to God. I didn't actually say that, but I was talking about rejoicing in God, your Savior. That is so amazing. And that is what we need to do. You know, you need to have a continual acknowledgement of God in your life. I had a conversation with somebody one time long ago, and they were talking about how with their children, they said, well, you know, it's not the little things. You know, I always make sure my kids know that when big things happen in their life, that's God. And I thought, no, God is the reason for the small things and the big things. We glorify God in everything that we do. We can glorify God when we're driving along and we happen to miss a deer that runs across the road and we don't smash into it. Guess what? You glorify God in that moment. You know, there is so much going on in this world that we are not aware of. And I'm going to take you over to Isaiah. So it's Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. It says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. So it's waiteth for the Lord, for him that wait joyfully upon the Lord. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God prepares for those who wait upon the Lord. And that term wait upon the Lord, we can get into a whole bunch of discussion about what that means. But here's what I'm wanting to say with glorifying God, folks, is that I have a hopeful expectation of good. I have a continual hopeful expectation of good. I wait on God to work on my behalf, to prepare things beforehand. You know, I'm going to be moving here soon, and I just know, and this is, whenever I think about it, this is my prayer and my earnest glorifying God. I'm like, thank you, God, that you are going before me, and you are preparing the perfect place for me to live in. And I'm going to walk into that place. I'm going to find it. Do a lot of you even know what I'm talking about right now? Because I think a lot of us get so wrapped up into the temporal, into the day-to-day, into your teenagers, into your workload, into all this stuff, to where you don't even think about the fact, it is a fact, that God is going before you. He's preparing things beforehand so that you can walk into them. Man, that is so good, folks. That is so, so good. And that's when we glorify God, when we esteem and we place value upon God, upon the things of God, upon the word of God. It is the seed that we need to plant in our hearts so that we can bear fruit in this life. You know, I don't know what to tell you other than God opened this door for me to come onto this radio station. So I just want to take a moment and let's talk about this for a minute, because I wonder sometimes if folks listening to me are wondering, what is your motivation? What are you doing? Why are you saying all this stuff? Maybe you're saying, why are you making me feel bad for what I'm doing right now? Listen, folks, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I am trying to share with you the things that have radically changed my life. When this opportunity opened for me to go onto the radio. Look, I didn't have the money to go onto the radio. And yeah, I pay to go onto the radio. I pay the radio station for me to do this. So it's not like a job that I was offered. It was an opportunity to somebody, me being me, that had never been on the radio. I don't have any experience with this, but get this. There was the sales lady, awesome woman, and it was a divine encounter between me and her. But the first time we met, we were talking about this slot and how much it would cost. and all this stuff. And she asked me, knowing that I didn't have any experience on the radio, she was going out on a limb by even thinking about offering this radio slot to me. And she asked me, and she says, well, what are you trying to get out of this? Like, what's your motivation in this radio show? She says, do you think that you're viable to be on the radio? And I said, you know, honestly, I don't know. I said, all I know is that God placed a vision in my heart for radio. And I said, and all I know and all I want to do is share the things that have radically changed my life. You guys, me 7 years ago, you wouldn't recognize because I was a mess and life was miserable. I would have ups and downs, and most of my ups were because I was taking downers or I was smoking weed or I was drinking alcohol or doing some sort of drug. I was a mess, but these things have changed my life. And so I started to share with her what my vision was about the unconditional love of God and the fact that He has made you with a purpose and a plan and a divine destiny. And if I can just set one person free from this radio show, then that's all it's about. Because she was like, are you wanting to make money? Are you wanting to build a ministry? I'm like, no, that hasn't even crossed my mind. I just want to share these truths with people because I was saved and stuck for so many years. Being a Christian was a miserable place for me for 20 some years, folks. And I have been set free. And so that's why I'm sharing this with you. And you know what? It's the goodness of God that brings men to repentance is what Romans chapter 3 talks about. And that is what I experienced when I came home to Eastern Montana. And I heard for the first time that I am loved, that God loves me apart from my actions, that God has seen me as perfect. Even while I was in those drug houses and doing all the mess that I was doing, God loved me. He was not ashamed of me. And that is what I'm here to tell you today. You can glorify God in the fact that, and when I say glorify, let's remember that means to esteem or to place value upon. You need to start placing value upon the fact that God loves you. You are right with God, thus right. Righteousness. This is what I've been talking about. But I think we struggle to believe it. I know I did for so long until I finally just had to believe it. In spite of what I saw, in spite of my actions, in spite of everything, I just had to say, okay, God, I give up. I am done fighting you. I am done arguing, saying, no, I'm not righteous because I'm drinking. No, I'm not righteous because I took a guy home last night. I'm not righteous because of this. I could have given you 5,000 reasons at that time that were very true and contrary to my righteousness, but I had to start believing. So I'm going to close there with you again this week, folks. And the verse I want to leave with you is Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. And the last part of that scripture says, oh God, or let's just read the whole scripture. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for the Lord. You know, just wait on the Lord. He is preparing good things for you. And, you know, I just want to hear from you this week. I want you to give me a call at 970-919-0459. And I want to hear about something that you can give glory to God about, that you can value and esteem in God. Like maybe it was a job that you just radically, supernaturally stumbled upon, that it was like this job was made for you. It was like God prepared it just for you. There are so many things like this in your life, folks, but I want you to start thinking in that realm, because a lot of times we can look back and we can see it, and some of us don't even do that. So that's what I'm trying to get from you today. So give me a call, send me a text message, and don't forget to tune in next week on KRDO News Radio at 6:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, immediately following Focus on the Family. And you guys have a great week. We'll talk to you next Sunday. Bye.
Proceeding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program. And the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio.
Reason why the light shines all around.